All right, let's start again from the book of Deuteronomy chapter 11. We read that last time. Again, the way it was, after reading it, in trying to review, the Holy Spirit led me again to go in another direction. So let's hope we can say the things that we wanted to say today. Reading from that, Deuteronomy chapter 11. We are talking about the season of fruitfulness. And there's an important principle that I want to explain to Christians everywhere again today concerning the life of believers. If you have heard me long enough, you know that the favorite word, if I have to pick one word that I use most as a Christian, that is my teachings, is the word what? Huh? Okay, let's do from the. What did you say? I say a word. Look, life of is a sentence. I mean a word. Grace, thank you very much. Yes, most people here, they know me very well. The word is grace. If you have to pick one single word that you find me talk about most, is the word grace. Some people said faith. Faith is also, that would be a very close second. In fact, both of them, of course, they are very linked, all right? And that word grace, again, I will talk about it briefly, of course, as I'm going on today. But the main thing I want to say, again, is just about grace, all right? We're talking about the life, the season of what? Fruitfulness, all right? The life of harvest, yes, I wanted to say. We're talking about harvest in our lives, and I want to bring out a particular principle. Now, let's read this Deuteronomy chapter 11 again. We will read from let's start from verse 8. Now, Moses was speaking to them concerning how God brought them into the promised land. He said, "You shall therefore keep every commandment which I am commanding you today, so that you may be strong and go in and possess the land into which you are about to cross to possess it, so that you may prolong your days on the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give to them and to their descendants, a land flowing with milk and honey." Please follow this now. A land flowing with milk and honey, for the land into which you are entering. Now, this is what I want you to understand. For the land into which you are entering to possess it is not like the land of Egypt from which you came, where you used to sow your seed and water it with your foot like a vegetable garden. Now, notice that. In the land of Egypt, you sowed your seed, and then you had to water it with your own effort, like a garden in your house. You had to have a hose. You had to do your own irrigation. He said, but the land which you are coming into is different. Verse 11 says, that land into which you are about to cross to possess it is a land of hills and valleys. It drinks waters from the rain of heaven, a land for which the Lord your God cares. The eyes of the Lord your God are always on it from the beginning even to the end of the year. Now that's what he was emphasizing. It shall come about if you listen obediently to my commandments, which I am commanding you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and all your soul, that he will give you the rain for your land in its season. Please notice this. He said that this is a land that God watches over closely throughout the year. It's not a land that you will use your own effort to bring water, all right, to work on your seed. It's a land that the water comes from the rains of heaven. So now I explain to them, if you obey the word of the Lord your God, the commandments I've given you today, he said he will give the rain for your land in its season, the early and the late rain, that you may gather in your grain and your new wine and your oil. He will give grass in your fields for your cattle, and you will eat and be satisfied. He said, beware that your hearts are not deceived, and that you do not turn away and serve other gods and worship them, or the anger of the Lord will be kindled against you, and he will shut up the heavens so that there will be no rain. Now notice that that's where God goes for the jugular. He shuts up the heaven so that there is no rain, and the ground will not yield its fruit, and you will perish quickly from the good land which the Lord is giving you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. Now let me just pick up from this. Let me do a small review again and get into the main thing I want to say. We're talking about the season of fruitfulness. Now let me start with this story, okay? In fact, let me just quickly get into it. I told this story a bit, I think it was on Tuesday or was it last Saturday, about how my wife and I went out with a friend. So we're sitting down somewhere and we're just chatting. And he was telling us a story about a friend of his. Now, listen to this. I'd heard that phenomenon before. I heard that principle, people using it. I want to use that to explain what it means that this is a land that that he's talking about the land of Egypt, where you watered with your own foot. That is, you had to irrigate it. You had to bring water into your seed. And let's look at the practical aspect of it in life. That this man, and this is the principle the man was operating, I've heard it before, that if you want to do big business, you have to learn to mingle with big people. Do you understand? Yes. And for this man, what he did, and of course, if you are flying to, let's say, a place like, correct me if I'm wrong, but if the flight, normal flight, international flight, let's assume it's $1,000. If you want to fly first class, you pay like $6,000. Yeah, that's the way it is. Okay, 1,005. Let's assume you're going to the U.S. and at that season, the flight is about $1,500. If you have to do that same flight, first class is $6,000. Which in today's Naira is how many, how much Naira? Okay, so as of today, you pay over $1 million to get that. Now, take a flight to go to the U.S. That's return. It's $1 million. Now, it's not too much money. Amen? Amen. Say amen.
Amen.
Now, I'm going somewhere. The issue about it is that there is a cheaper one just behind the same plane. I hope you are getting my point. The same plane. You get it at the same time. If you fly first class, you fly economy, the plane tends to take off the same time. That is, the front and the back, they go one unit. The amount of turbulence you feel at the back where you are paying $1,500 is the same amount you feel, even though your seat is bigger, we know they will give you the food you want at the time you want it. Well, for goodness, what's the big deal about food? It's just 10 hours, for goodness sake, or 12 hours at most. But now, this is the point, it's not a bad thing. Don't say, why should somebody fly first class? If you can't fly first class, go and sit at the back. Are you getting my point? It's not no be fight, all right? If you can, it's your money, amen?
Amen?
It's as you like it. Now, what's the story about? Let me just get sit down. Maybe I'm trying to say. The logic, and I've heard this before, business people say it. Fly first class. Why? Because you meet the big people. Even if you're not in first class, it's business class. The concept is not because of comfort. Now, some people need it. It's important that you're comfortable. I told the story of Rabbi Zacharias that 2/3 of his life is in the air somewhere. People like that are not supposed to fly economy, because if they do, they will die suddenly one day from deep vein thrombosis. They are not allowed to, because he's always in the air. He needs to be able to lie down flat. He needs to be able to, you know, take a good rest in between his engagements. He's an evangelist. He's a Christian apologist. Now, there are people like that. They need it, okay? But generally, big men try to fly like that. They don't cramp themselves in the economic class. I don't want to talk too much. Anyway, you are a big man, so I'm teaching you how to be a big man. Don't feel bad when it's time to pay business class money. Do you hear what I said? Right now that you can't pay it, feel bad. But don't be angry with those who are paying it. Do you know why? Just by the way. So that, you know, one of the things I found out about life, people like to be angry with rich people, which is not right. If you are like that, you will never be rich in your life. God will condemn you to the level you are right now. You won't move up from that level. And that's not supposed to be a joke. Mike Murdoch said like this: what you don't respect, you don't attract. All right? What you don't understand, stop criticizing it. Okay? Just by the way, for you to understand. One of the reasons the economic class can be that cheap is that some people are paying the expensive ones. I don't know whether I get my point. The airlines operate very little margin. If everybody was flying economic class, they will have to increase their prices. So they know some big man will come and drop $6,000. So they can afford to shift $200 off for the people at the back. Now, your turn will come. You've been blessed to be a blessing, amen?
Amen?
A time will come that you will be amongst those who are subsidizing for other people. Do you get my point? Yes, you know, don't go, when God has blessed you, don't go and queue at Peace Park. Go to AutoStar. Are you getting my point? No, it's true. Yeah, you don't have your own vehicle with a driver to carry you yet, but you can pay at AutoStar. If you queue at Peace Park, you are displacing people who don't have money. So go to the other side. Are you getting my point? Let God remove the money from your pocket. It's sound advice I'm giving you. All right? You must refuse that poverty mentality. What happens is that life, my friend Iboko, we say that contentment is knowing your place in life and living like you are there. Like, time comes in which you must leave some things alone. Do you understand my point? Yes, you must leave some things alone. A friend of mine the other day said, he got to the park. They said, 3 people on the road. He said, no, I want to sit down there alone. So they said, all right, so where's the money? He gave them money for all the seats. He said, let's go. Some people were at the back looking at him. Only him. What's your problem? It's not your money. You know, I don't understand for people at all. It's not your money. And the most issue, instead of you to be grateful, instead of the boss having to wait to fill up, he made the boss move immediately. Are you getting my point? That's what it means to be blessed, to be a blessing. You know, he has blessed everybody by saving their time. No, listen, anyway, as time goes on, we're talking about this. But let me try and sit on my message. I'm digressing too much. Anyway, so this is the point. So generally, you get to a point, you find that a lot of important, in quotes, people are there, first class, business class. So some people now, this is the concept I'm talking about, trying to make connections in life. This is what they do. Anytime they want to fly, they must fly business class. Not for the other reasons we have been talking about. Anytime they want to fly abroad, they have to fly first class. Why? Not for the reasons we are talking about, but because the only thing they understand in life is that they have to water their own seed with their foot. Are you getting my point? So he doesn't have the resources, but he stretches himself, like that fellow we're talking about. He said he has his friend. That this guy decided that that's how he was going to do it, so as to become important in life and become connected. All right? And let me just say something to you, all right? You must understand how you analyze life. These things we are saying, they do work for those that have to do them. You know, one of our brothers here, that he was telling me that when he goes with his boss and they go to Abuja, that his boss's neighbors, you know, like maybe I want to go and see Maoga at the Hilton, are presidents. You know, maybe this, some of these West African countries, they come to Nigeria, you know, and then he's going to his boss's room. And the guy next door is the president of a particular country. Now, that's the kind of level you find. And his boss is a businessman, and he just pays his own money. But the guy paying next door is a nation. The fellow down the road is one Saudi minister. Those are the kind of people that you meet at those levels. And that is not a joke. So for some people, that's the only way to break through in life. So they don't have the money. That's what I'm talking about. They have not reached the level of being so blessed so as to be a blessing. But they said, this is a connection I need. So this guy was doing it. This guy I'm talking about, his friend was talking with us, that he did it for 7 years before he finally broke through. 7 years of always traveling beyond what he could afford. 7 years of staying in hotels that he could not pay easily. 7 years of just trying his best just to get connected. And I was emphasizing earlier that it appears to work. Except that if I want to finish that day, as we were driving home, my wife and I said, if you try that as a Christian, God will ensure that poverty is your portion. You know what I said? Yeah. Yes, he will deliberately stand against you. He will stand and say, since my son, my daughter has decided that I must go the way of the world to become connected, I must, for the love of truth, prove to him or her that it doesn't work like that. Are you getting my point? I want to emphasize that fact that, you see, when it says that the land you are coming from, the land of Egypt, you know, that's why, you know, you must know how to judge things in life, how to judge things. You know, I get tired when Christians gather and who is instructing them in the ways of business is an unbeliever because he's successful. Your multi-millions does not qualify you to talk to the church of God. It does not. It does not. If you, that's a mistake the church has made a long time. A man is famous in the world. He comes into the church. Listen, apart from bringing up the microphone and saying, praise the Lord, I was lost, but now I have been found. I was blind, now I can see. Anything beyond that is iniquity. Yes. If we give you the microphone, listen. Is it Two-Face? Is it Two-Face? Who deserves, you know, one of these boys here, you know. If tomorrow, today, now he gives his life to Christ, now comes here, say, Pastor Frank, the Lord sent me to come and study with you. Go and sit at the back. In fact, so that you don't distract other people, go and sit inside. Because if they come in and see you there, now they won't listen to me again. They'll be saying, look at Two Face at the back. I will not let you hold this microphone to sing one song. God is my witness. Please, sir, I need to give my... Yes. I used to go around impregnating girls. I have stopped. That is what I want to hear. That is all I want to hear. Anything beyond that, not here. If we need money, we won't ask you. So I want to join co-workers. Co-working with who? Go and join co-learners first. In fact, we'll look for sign that I saw. I saw a car, sign on the car downstairs. L. We'll look for a bigger L for you to wear it when you're entering here. Learner, sit at the back. We are learning the word of God. Your fame in the world does not qualify you to hold my microphone. It doesn't. You don't have an anointing to sing praise worship yet. This is how churches destroy people. He comes to church after 6 months in choir. 1 year later, he's leading praise. Leading what kind of praise? He should be leading learning at the back. You should make him recite memory verse. Alright? Worldly success does not give you the right to talk in church. That's what I'm trying to say. The reason is simple. The principles are different. Are you getting my point? They are different. They are very different. And what God was saying to them here, through Moses, he said, you are coming from a land, all right? A land where when you will have planted your seed, you have to water it with your foot. That is, you have to do your own irrigation by yourself. The concept in Egypt is that Egypt didn't have rain like that, all right? Most of the water came from the Nile. So they had to dig irrigation channels, all right? That's what he was talking about. That is, you have to, by your own effort, water this thing. But in Christianity, we live by the power of grace. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
We live by what?
By
what?
Power
of grace. Back to my friend's story. So a man gets up and his strategy is that I must put myself in a place where people, I'll meet people who are connected. You know, there are a lot of things I hear. A friend of mine the other day, he was talking with me. He was using a very nice phone, okay? Now, by an average person's standard. Dual SIM, big, you know, screen and all of that. But it's not a high-powered phone. So his friend said, look, don't bring this phone for negotiation. They run a company where they deal in, you know, scores of millions. That don't bring this phone for meeting. So I saw he had bought the latest Galaxy Note, you know, the newest one. No, I said, this one, so he has to hold it for meetings. And which I understand the principle. Do you understand? I understand. I'm just trying to say, when you are hearing those things, be careful how you judge them as Christians. You are not disadvantaged in any way if you go there with a Nokia 3310, if you're a believer. Did you hear what I said? How many of you know Nokia 3310? That phone that the whole world bought. Then they release another one after, the one with the touchlight, the original touchlight. Forget all of this. And sometimes, let's not even sit down there. Because you know if Bill Gates walked in with Nokia nothing, you won't be angry. It's all this poverty mentality. When you are not sure, when people are not sure of you, that's when you are trying to, you know, bring out, to show something. But now, these are issues. You know, I told you a story once. A company in Nigeria, in Lagos then, they were doing very badly. And they got this bank loan that we used to, you know, shut the business up and all of that. What did they do? They went and bought brand new cars. Not now. This was then when, look, brand new car in Nigeria, and a serious matter. This was long ago. This was around 1994, all right? 95, all right? That about. Yes, 93, 94. So, and they were owing their staff. Now, get my point. They couldn't pay their staff. For weeks, for months, staff wouldn't be paid. But they had brand new cars. Why? For the image. They needed to project an image so they could attract business. And they went into a kind of show, well, it was a television, all right? A television company. Yeah, you know, they were doing TV broadcasts and stuff like that. So they needed, you are not serious. The spirits of your staff, their morale is low. You buy brand new cars, one of those brand new cars will have paid many of those staff for 1 year. Why? Because they were trying to water it with their foot. I hope you're getting my point. They were trying to water it with your foot. That's what they do in Egypt. That's Egyptian principle. That's like when you are reading books, as I tell you, all these business books that, you know, if you enter a Christian bookshop today, two sets of books you find in there. One, spiritual books. Two, business and motivational books. Now, just walk around. Come and tell me I'm lying. If you can walk around and you don't find 80% of Christian bookshops, that's how they are. There will be no secular novels. Praise God. The praise God there is like, thank God. You know what I'm saying? Now, the point is that, you know, a lot of these people are Christians. People like Brian Tracy and co. They are believers, okay? But a huge chunk are Christian scientists, you know, Buddhists, you know, all kinds of things. But, you know, in Christian bookshops, we are not afraid to stalk them side by side. We feel like Christians need to succeed. They have to learn the principles of business. And that's one area where you have to be careful how you learn. You have to be careful how you read. Now, you know me well enough to know that I've read a lot of those things. In fact, one of the ones I quote from a lot, and why I like quoting from him, is that I use it to show that the word of God is true. That's Paul Getty. That is, they asked him, and at that time he was the richest man in the world. And I think he was until he died, or something like that. But he was the richest man in the world for a very long time, like Bill Gates is now, all right? And they asked him, how do you become rich? He said, rise up early, go to bed late, and strike oil. I like that quotation. You know why I like it? It's the direct opposition to the word of God that we've been looking for to prove that all flesh is grass, you know? God says it is vain to rise early and to retire late. I don't care how rich he was. J.P. Getty was wrong. And of course, when we look at his life, we know the blessing of God makes rich and does not add sorrows. When you make money like that, it adds sorrows. And he had plenty of sorrows. He had plenty of sorrows. The son testified that money was a curse to our family. So when we read these things, we have to be careful that we don't take principles that bring curses into our lives. Like we're talking about J.P. Getty. He said, I don't know how old he was when he died, but as an old man, he was extremely paranoid. He was, you know, psychotically paranoid. I read his book, How to Be Rich. I read all the stories, but with insight. Yes, I read all the stories with insight. I've read many of those books, many of those things that we Christians, be careful how we read them. Many of those things are Egyptian principles. They are Egyptian principles. You know what I mean by Egyptian principles now? Yes, when you were in Egypt, you sowed your seed and then you watered it with your foot. And guys write books on how to water with your foot, and people of God that God has said to that you have been blessed to be a blessing, they go and ask, how do we walk in Egypt? This evening I'm preaching to you again that the Lord has brought you to a good land. Amen. Say amen, please.
Amen.
He said here, your own land drinks water of the rain of heaven. What does that mean? He said God is watching over that land carefully. What does that mean? God knows when you need the rain. So he gives the rain at the appropriate time. He will not bring a connection to you except you need it. Are you getting my point? He will not allow you a connection that will not be a blessing to you. He forbids you from looking for a connection for yourself. You're forbidden. You are forbidden. Let me say it to you one more time. You are forbidden. Listen, what you need, the last time I spoke on this subject, last week, I didn't sit on this matter. But at that time, I said something. I said, your help will come. Can you remember it? Yes. At the time that you need it, your help will come. That is a matter of fact. Let me say something quickly before I go on into this. Why am I talking like this? Why am I preaching like this? I said something last week. I explained the fact that faith is the substance of things hoped for. That is, a hope is an expectation. It's not a wish. It's not a desire. It's not as if when I desire something, I go and look for faith to make sure it stands. No. It's that when I have words, when I believe words, are you getting my point? Those words create an expectation for me. And I said to you, the expectation in spiritual things is very powerful. It's very powerful. It's the expectation of the righteous that will not be cut off. The righteous man's expectation is born out of what he or she has heard. When you tell a righteous woman the word of God, it creates an expectation in that fellow's life. And that is what God is dealing with, not desire. You hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
Not desire. That's why the Englishman said, if wishes were horses, even beggars will ride. It is expectation we're talking about. What is expectation? Expectation is just what it means, what it sounds like, what I expect. But my emphasis is the fact that it is based on information. It is based on what you believe among the things that you are hearing. And as I said, faith is the substance of what you are expecting. So when I hear words and I believe those words, it creates an expectation for me. That's why this day, let me just tell you again. These days, when you see doctors, take the other direction. I made up my mind last week, they are the most confused set of creatures on this earth as of today. They don't even know how to treat malaria. To even diagnose malaria now is a problem. Everything now is malaria. Sneeze, malaria. Headache, malaria. Toe ache, malaria. I don't want to go there. I'm a guest talk there. Let me just tell you the truth. You won't die. Amen?
Amen.
Doctor says that you look like you're going to die. Say, doctor, let's see who will die first. don't just, look, it's not every little symptom you have. Don't run to hospital. Listen, for those who don't know, I'm a doctor. Some people may think that this guy, he's angry with doctors. Maybe he's not a doctor. Maybe the doctor injured him. listen. Most of the money I spend today, I earn from practicing this medicine. I know we're all deceiving ourselves, but federal government gives me money for joining. for joining the deception. I'm a specialist. I'm a head of the department of a teaching hospitals department. As of today, my CMD hears this, I may get sacked, but it doesn't matter. we join in self, that is mass deception. Everybody is confused. Yes. This is what I'm saying. They start telling you all kinds of funny things about your life, and you believe it, you know. There's a story I've told before. Let me tell it again. Very interesting story. I watched this on National Geographic or Discovery Channel, one of those documentary channels. A man, a doctor, an American doctor, saw a patient, told the patient, you have disease ABCD, one disease, and that you're going to get worse like this, and you will now finally die. And the man said, amen. Be careful what you say amen to. The man said amen. You know what happened? The doctor said he will get worse and progress like this. He went just like the doctor said. And the doctor said within 9 months you'll be dead. 9 months later, the man was dead. He died. And as is customary in a lot of places where practice is advanced, they did an autopsy on him and found there was nothing wrong with him. The autopsy revealed that there was nothing wrong with him. Did you hear what I said? But he was dead. We're asking this elderly doctor. The doctor said, this thing changed my life. It changed my life. The person intervened and said, how did it change your life? He said, this is what I now practice and I teach my students. As also a teacher. Never take hope away from your patients. So I took hope away from that man and the man died. If I ever have to talk to a patient, I'm a pathologist, so I don't see them often. But once in a while, you have to talk to somebody. This doctor has, so this result, what is he saying? I come from an angle to let you know that this result can be wrong. Yes, don't just believe them. I'm not even talking about medical mistakes now, which is said to kill more people annually in the U.S. than the whole of Vietnam War killed. And in Vietnam War, 55,000 people died, Americans. That is, annually, more than 55,000 Americans die because the doctors made a mistake. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about which the doctor did not make a mistake. He didn't make any mistake. What he said, he's correct according to the books. A lot of times, what is a spiritual transaction? They take hope away from you, you believe it, you're dead. Why did I go into that? What you believe, be careful. In fact, last week I made up my mind. This one I'm telling you now. I've said it before, but last week I just got angrier still. Now, he said, don't sleep too much. Now, I'll double my sleep. He said, jog. I'm not jogging. I'm just angry. I've seen too much confusion. This is when I'm teaching students, I'm feeling bad. Like, I'm just lying to these people. I teach fourth-year medical students, you know? I'll just be feeling bad. Of course, the way I say it in class, I say, look, this I want to tell you today. It's what the books say. It's what we teach. But let me just tell you, on a personal note, I don't believe it. You know the sign they said, don't eat fat. Remember that? The whole world went after cholesterol. We are not cholesterol. Even in Nigeria, with all these Okpelenge all over the place, they're telling you, not cholesterol. I just be looking at all of them. A drug company is manipulating your head because it wants to sell money. You make money. You believe them. Then finally, recently, now found out that, you know what happens that? They have removed fat from all the food. Americans are still very fat and are still sick. They say, what do we do now? Let's start deceiving them another way. Recently, they added that, no, oil is not really the problem. It is sugar. Now, eat sugar with vexation. I'm angry. I'm going to do it now. Just carry sugar. Put it in my hand. Chew it. They say, if you eat sugar, you have double the risk of dying from of a heart attack. I'm going to live to be 104, at least. I've joined Corey Blake in eating nonsense. If I like the rubbish, I will eat it. I'm tired of being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. While I was watching, they said, if you drink enough milk, you'll be healthier. Then they said, if you drink milk, you have prostate cancer. If these were not my people, you would think I'm talking out of ignorance. I'm there too. And you know when I read with, you know, insight. They did a study in Denmark, found that the men that drank milk had the high incidence of prostate cancer. Before that, they were finding that they had the high incidence of colon cancer. They didn't drink milk. So let's make a long story short. If you drink milk, prostate cancer. You don't drink colon cancer. What have I not seen? And you now see human beings just believing it. Believing it. By the time you're this way, you must go for mammography so you don't get breast cancer. Meanwhile, the facts have shown, mammography or no mammography, if you are going to die from breast cancer, you will die from it. That has been shown. All the years they went around screening for prostate cancer. 2 years ago, the fans said it was a waste of time. The moment they say, I just carry my Bible, hold it closer. Say, this Bible doesn't lie. So I made up my mind. I ain't going to screen no prostate. Every morning I'm going to read the scripture for my prostate. And you women read the scripture for your breast too. You will not get cancer. Amen. Did you hear what I said? Look, forget mammography, forget PSA screening. It won't save your life. Only in the Lord are righteousness and strength. The Bible says safety is of the Lord. That's what I'm going to emphasize. Doctors are not God. You hear what I said?
Yes.
They are not God. They are not God. They can be. If any doctor that disagrees with the word of God, just say, doctor, you are wrong. So we've done our test, we believe that you are going to die in the next 8 weeks. The doctor, please, let me go home. I'll see you in 9 weeks, then we'll talk. I will see you in 9 weeks. Now, I don't mean just denial, please get my point. I'm not saying just walk away and deny it. No. I'm saying let's go. We take the word of God as our source of what? Information, our source of strength. And the thing that builds, that's actually where I'm going. The thing that builds our hope. That's what I'm talking about. If you are not a child of God, if grace is not working with you, the best God you can find is that doctor. Follow him. If he kills you, at least your God killed you, you know? If he can make you live, we thank God for him. Are you getting my point? My emphasis is just that, what do you expect for your life? Where is your information from? That's what I'm trying to emphasize. That's what I'm trying to emphasize, all of these things. Where's your information? Where's your information? Who told you, God said? Who told you you were naked? Who told you? How did you know that you were naked? It's who's feeding you information we want to know. Ask yourself, anytime you believe something about your life, who told me? If it's not God, at least, stage one, you know the fellow may be wrong. You start with 50-50. Are you getting my point? Let's now see what God is saying. If what God is saying is it disagrees with what that fellow is saying, then that fellow is totally wrong. Do you get the point? That's what we're talking about. So why are we doing all of these things? I'm going back there. We must have divine information so as to have divine expectation. And that is what God fulfills in your life. That expectation that's created by the entrance of his word. So we're talking about the season of fruitfulness. Let me get back to it now. All of this is just trying to bring out a point. All right, that we must have our expectation based on genuine information. Now, this is how the Egyptians water with their foot, we're saying. This is how you do connection. The principle of networking with important people. Like I said, for them, maybe it works. Maybe that's the only option they have. But I've come to give you divine information. Are you getting my point? That if you like, don't fly first class. Don't fly business class. Don't fly at all. If it's a trek to Abuja, that's the only one you can afford. Trek. In your trekking, you will meet the person that God said, you, go and connect my son. Go and connect my daughter with destiny. Did you hear what I've said? How you know you are trusting in something? In fact, this is how it is. When they say the man loves money, it's not as if he takes a photograph of money and says, in the morning, money, how I love you so. You know, he doesn't do that. How you know what somebody loves is what the fellow is willing to do to get that thing. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain? So if this is how you know where your faith is what you put your effort in to get to work for you. That's what your faith is in. That's what your faith is in. You know, I say this all the time. Some people, their phone would never go off. Why? I don't know when they will call me. You know, some things don't bother me. You know why they don't bother me? I have a principle in mind, which is the word of God, and it has created an expectation for me. And what is that principle? The Bible says, from there, God commanded the blessing. From there, God did what?
Commanded.
That first word is what?
Commanded.
Blessings are what?
Commanded.
And nothing that God issues forth returns to him void until it has done what he told you to go and do. So, my principle is that if I put off my phone, you will keep calling until I put it back on. Are you getting my point?
Yes, sir.
That is the word of God to me. So if I want to sleep and I don't want to be disturbed, I will put off the phone. Say, I never know when they will call. If they call when my phone is off and they don't call back, the blessing was not my own. Don't ever forget, you're not the only one that will be blessed though. I mean, how can only you be blessed? You want to live in this life alone? Now for that reason, now that's the expectation I have. That which is mine is mine. No, I say it all the time. That which is mine is what?
Mine.
Is mine. Not because I'm just claiming it. No, it's because it was commanded. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. Now, this point I'm making from it. Because I understand that I have an expectation, so I can put off my phone. What am I preaching again? In your own season of harvest, in your season of fruitfulness, God is commanding rain upon you at the appropriate time. Do you understand the principle?
Yes,
for that reason, you are not going to water it with your foot. You are not going to break your head, break your back because you want to connect with somebody. Look, this is how I am, and this is the advice I'm giving to you again. You need connection, of course. Sometimes somebody will say, call me. You call the person once, you say, call me back. Call the person second time, call me back. Come in the third time, don't call him again. He said, ah, sir, you don't know the kind of person. I know the kind of God. Are you getting my point? Yes. Listen, in fact, I want to digress again. No? Praise the Lord. So many young, single men. In fact, see, I see all the young men came, gathered this evening to hear this. If you call a woman two times, okay, let's give her a benefit of one extra time. Three times, she doesn't call you back. Stop wasting your credit. What did I say? What did I say?
Stop wasting.
And ladies, see, if you like him, call him back. He just said, no, you have to play hard to get. Olayinka? Okay, we married people. Do we like it?
No.
Hard to get? Bishop, you like that kind of thing? Did you like that kind of thing? Yes. Why should I be pursuing you? What does that mean? Like I keep on saying, it's an agreement. Amen? I'm fine, you're fine, two of us are fine. As many men are pursuing, so are many women waiting for me too. So what's your problem? But that's not the issue. We are both children of God, amen? We both believe in purpose, the purpose of God for our lives. So if you believe that we are supposed to run together, he said, draw me unto you, let us run together. That's how to find true love. You know, can I walk with you? If I can walk with you, if I call you two times, you miss it, call me back. If you don't call me back, I only call you again. If I want one of my friends in that book, should I say yes? I told the story there about arranged marriages. His marriage was arranged, you know, very interesting. All right? He's not an old man, he's a young man, he's a pastor in this town. Now, what I want to tell you about the story is that he gave to, you know, because you know the way it is. I mean, you're marrying a girl you've never met. They had never met. By the time they saw each other for the first time, bride price had been paid. They had never met. They had never, modern day, not a story of, in the 18th century when our fathers used to meet our mothers. No. Modern day. They had never met. So, of course, that takes some leap of faith, you understand? So, one of the tests he gave that thing was that He just told the Lord, God, if this thing is really you, I want this. Not now. Everybody has phone. No. This was long ago. I want this young man to call me. He had never called her. I don't know whether you get the point. That it was like, God, let's be sure now you. So one day he sighed, they looked the phone. He just looked the phone. Meanwhile, the ladies in Nigeria too, because he was abroad that time, all right? He was a missionary abroad. So the ladies in Nigeria too, they were playing. They're like, you want to marry? Let's even call him. Oh, no, why should I call him? Let's just call him. Let's see what he sounds like. I'm telling you. Meanwhile, broad day there, they pray, you know, in the name of Jesus, that kind of thing. The Holy Spirit does move this lady. She had his number. They dialed from Nigeria. He said the moment the phone rang, he knew. He didn't have caller ID. He just knew that she's the one. Pick the phone. Hello. Oh, Ifeoma, is that you? All right, please, hang up. Let me call you back. He said, Father, I thank you. You know that kind of thing. So listen, if you have to call, it doesn't mean anything. The Lord is good. All right. No, I like to drop these things once in a while. So guys, hey, by the way, the girl too is earning money. Not only they send recharge cards across, the one you have sent is enough. Amen? What did I say? It's enough. It's not because you are not a giver. It's just enough. Thank you. It's just enough. I know you're a giver. We're just saying, look, you said, buy me something too. Is a sign of love. For God so loved the world that he gave. If you are not giving, you are not loving. You're taking. What are you? The Lord is good. Let's just leave the thing there, all right? I hope you guys have been helped today. Some of you are going to abandon some projects after today's Bible study. You don't call me again. Pastor Bank says enough.